In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Mass is being offered for the temporal good of Raymond Burke, temporal good of Cardinal Raymond Burke. Today, as we enter into these sacred mysteries, we celebrate the feast of Saint Barnabas. Though it was last Friday, it was eclipsed by the Feast of the Sacred Heart, because that's my last name, Barnabas. We're going to celebrate this feast anyway, it's voted on, just because I love him, and he's great. And we're able to do so in these times. So, Barnabas, what does his name mean? Barnabas means Bar-Nabas, meaning son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. Just like Bar-Yona, when it refers to Simon Bar-Yona, our first pope. He's talking about Simon, who is the son of Jonah. So today, as we have this opportunity to reflect upon the life of this dear saint, we realize that that's something that all of us are supposed to be. Saint Barnabas lived out his name very well. It's very interesting how characters within scripture oftentimes do live out their names. There is something in a name, as Shakespeare points out. There is indeed something in a name. Not just that which separates this Capulet from this Montague, as in Romeo and Juliet, where that is there, says that it's saying that there's nothing in the name, but there really is something in the name when God intervenes in the name. He's a son of encouragement, meaning what? That when he was given the grace to come to know God and to give his life unto him, he spent his entirety of his life finding those who are downcast, finding those who are weak, finding those who are pushed aside, and he said, but there's something good in them. Something good in them. That's why when St. Paul was kicked out by the believers, said he's too much for us, let's get him away from us, he's too extreme. It was Barnabas who was sent out to reconcile him, to teach him, to help him to mellow his way and to bring that goodness out of him and to soften those edges that were there. He wasn't fully successful in his time, but God did the rest of it. For he did the same thing to John Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark, who later became the companion of St. Peter, only because after St. Paul kicked him out and said, no, he's a weakling, he abandoned us on our last missionary journey, I'm never going to travel with this guy again. Barnabas says, no, John Mark is still good. You're still good in him. Let me take him under my wings. I will take him, and I will show him the way. You and he have too many difficulties. I'll go with John Mark. And after doing so, he rehabilitated him in such a way that he was willing to stand with St. Peter, our first pope, all the way to the end in his chains. And after he passed away, to give us that beautiful work, which is the Gospel of Mark. You and I are called to be like that, Barnabas, to find those who are weak, to find those who do not understand their worth, and maybe their worth is taken down by others, so that we can restore them back to the faith and see what God really desires to do. How are you living that out? I'm going to do that today for something the church, in very many ways, is trying to restore one particular woman to be seen for the greatness that she indeed had. But many struggle with her life. Let's serve the God Dorothy Day. Serve the God Dorothy Day is one who is a difficult character because she was totally against God. Totally into communist ideologies as well. All those things within her Catholic worker movement, even struggled with those that were trying to take over the movement even after she had her great conversion as well. She had an abortion. She's a very complicated figure in that way, and yet she's one who's being purported to have great, great sanctity within her life, heroic virtue lived out in her life. And so I want to give you something that she says in her teachings, which are very practical, very much looking out for the poor, and as well looking out for the good and the dignity of each one. As our Lord speaks about in the Gospel, he says one. He talks about, you shall love your neighbor, but not hate your enemy. You shall love your enemy as well. Something difficult for us. This is what she has to say for this. She says, there's a character in the play by Albert Camus who says that he is tired of hearing about men dying for an idea. He would like to hear about a man dying for love, for a change. He goes on to say that men have forgotten how to love, that they seem to be thinking of these days is learning how to kill. Man, he says, seems to have lost his own capacity for love. He's writing about this at the beginning of the 20th century. things gotten better since. Dorothy Day goes on. She says, but what is God but love? What is God but love? What is religion without love? We read of the saints dying for love, and we wonder what they mean. There was a silly verse that we used to hear long ago, quote, men have died from time to time, and worms have eaten them, but not for love. This comes from the play As You Like It, William Shakespeare. And nowadays, we would agree, except for the saints. Yes, they have died for love of God. Love and evermore, love is the only solution to every problem that comes up. If we love each other enough, we will bear with each other's faults and burdens. If we love enough, we are going to light that fire in the hearts of others. And it is love that will burn out the sins and the hatreds that so easily bring us to sadness. It is love that will make us want to do great things for each other. No sacrifice and no suffering will seem too much for one who loves. Yes, I see only too clearly how bad people are. I wish I did not see it so. It is my own sins that give me such clarity. If I did not bear the scars of so many sins to dim my sight and to dull my capacity for love and for joy, then I would see Christ more clearly in all of you. See that self-reflection? She says the reason why she struggles to see how this one is created in the image of God or how there's goodness in this one who attacks or harms others and even herself is because of her own sins, which dim the clarity of being able to see God's image in the other person. She doesn't accuse the other person for their inability to act out of love, but rather her inability to act in love has dimmed her ability to see. Going on, she says this. In the end, she says, I cannot worry much about your sins and your miseries when I have so many of my own. I can only love you all, poor fellow travelers, poor fellow sufferers. I do not want to add one least straw to burden you all to the burden that you already carry. My prayer from day to day is that God will so enlarge my heart that I will see you all and live with you all in His love. That's the right perspective. Dorothy Day has an insight there. She sees it. She sees that the problem of love isn't in that there are so few lovely things within the world. There's so few lovely people within the world. The problem with love is that I choose not to love. Because my choices not to love prevents me from loving those who are around me, not what they do to me. Let's ask our Lord for the very same insights, the very same thing that St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta said, no different. She said, I cannot judge anyone. Why? Because if I judge them, then I can't love them. Let's ask our Lord for that same intuition which St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta had, that same intuition which this very great servant of God, Dorothy Day, to ask our Lord to reconvert our hearts so that we can see the one whom He loves in that other person who we find it difficult to love. Not those who are easy, but in those who oftentimes oppose themselves to us and make themselves, through their actions, our enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.